Krishna. We welcome you all to this Bhagavatam session. Today we will be discussing from 1st canto, 2nd chapter, verses 22nd to 29. I would like to seek the blessings of Guru Gauranga and all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I can speak Bhagavatam as it is given by Srila Prabhupada. Before reciting Bhagavatam, we will pay our obeisances. So first we will recite these two slokas. It would be nice if everybody recites together.
Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam veeraye.
Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayana, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasade, the author.
Nashta prayeshu abadheshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttamashloke bhaktir bhavati naishthiki.
By regular attendance in the classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So before continuing, we will actually discuss what is the theme for this section. So the 22nd verse is actually a conclusion of all the verses from 16 to 21. It is a conclusion of the glories of the devotional service. So in 16 to 21, it is said that if one serves a devotee, then they will get the impetus to listen the Bhagavatam, and by regularly listening the Bhagavatam, all the misgivings or all the desires in the heart will be removed, and by further serving the Bhagavata, this book Bhagavata and devotee Bhagavata, all that is troublesome to the heart is gone away, and the loving transcendental devotional service to the Lord is established. So these were the verses 16 to 21, and the conclusion of these verses is given in verse 22nd, that we will get to it in a moment. And verses 23 to 29, actually the whole 23 to 29 gives us the who is the object of devotional service. And before getting to that, we will see from 23 to 25 verses, actually the worship of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. 26 to 27 we will see the difference between the worship of Vishnu Tattva and other demigods. And verses 28 and 29 will establish that Vasudeva is the actual object of worship. So let's move on to the verse 22nd.
Ato vai kavayo nityam bhaktim paramaya mudha vasudevi bhagavati kurvanti atma prasadhani.
Certainly, therefore, since time immemorial, all transcendentalists have been rendering devotional service to Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, with great delight, because such devotional service is enlivening to the self. So as I said, this is a conclusion for the verses from 16 to 21. That's why it is said there, therefore. So whenever we say something as a conclusion, we say certainly, therefore. And then what is mentioned here is, therefore, since time immemorial, all the transcendentalists were rendering devotional service to whom? To Lord Krishna. And how? With great delight. And why? Because it is enlivening to the self. So why to Lord Krishna? What is the speciality of Lord Krishna here? That Prabhupada has given so clearly in the purport. So what is the speciality of devotional service unto Lord Krishna? a facility for intimate personal contact as in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord at Vrajabhumi. So, in whatever way a soul desires to have a relationship with the Lord Sri Krishna will actually approve that, or he will try to satisfy his devotees in that particular manner. That's why we have seen that people can enjoy with Lord Krishna in the Dhasya Bhav, in the Sakya Bhav, in the Vatsalya Bhav, in the Madhurya Bhav. So that is one of the speciality of the devotional service to Lord Krishna. And that is the reason why the transcendentalists are more attracted towards Lord Krishna than to any of his other plenary expansions. And the other reason is Lord Krishna is Svayam Rupa, the original form of Godhead, and all other forms are his plenary portions and integrated parts. So that is confirmed in Brahma Samhita, that all other portions, all other expansions of the Lord are his integrated parts. That is confirmed in Brahma Samhita. It's like Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is a supreme Godhead. He has an eternal blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. This is the main thing which I wanted to quote. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, and he is the prime cause of all causes. This establishes the fact that Krishna is Svayam Rupa, the original form of Godhead. And there is another verse in Brahma Samhita. It says, Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyadena Tishta Nana Avatara Makarodhu Vaneshu Kintu Krishna Svayam Samabhavat Paramah Pumanyo Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who manifested himself personally as Krishna, and the different avatars in the world in the forms of Rama, Narasimha, Vamana, etc. as a subjective portions. So the other avatars like Rama, Narasimha, Vamana are a subjective portion, but Krishna is the original Svayam Rupa. So the takeaway points from this verse is, since Lord Krishna is a Svayam Rupa, the original form, and one can experience intimate personal contacts as in the transcendental pastimes of Lord at Vrajabhumi, these are the two factors by which the higher transcendentalists were more attracted to Lord Krishna, and they were doing the devotional service with great delight because it was enlivening to the self. So we'll move to the next verse. And then here I have put these slides to show how Lord Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead and what are the expansions of the Lord. So I don't want to go in detail as we are having less time. I can share the slide with you. You can look at that, like how Balaram is an expansion of Krishna, and Avadhut Vasudev, Shankarshna Pradhyumna, the primary expansions of the Lord. I'll come back to the slides when we are discussing about the Guna Avatars. We'll go to the verse 23. Sattvam rajastama iti prakriter gunasthair yuktah parah purusha eka ihasya tatthe sthityadhye haririnchi hareti samyaha shriyam sitatrako sattvatamur nranam shuhu. The transcendental personality of Godhead is indirectly associated with the three modes of material nature, namely passion, goodness, and ignorance. And just for the material world's creation, maintenance, and destruction, he accepts the three qualitative forms of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Of these three, of these three, all human beings can derive ultimate benefit from Vishnu, the form of the quality of goodness. So earlier it is concluded that Lord Krishna is a supreme, is the original form of Godhead. But then how it is, because in our daily life, most people might be thinking that, okay, we know that Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva are there. And some people might say that all of them, all three of them are equal. So now Suta Goswami is clearly giving us the knowledge of who they are and why they are. So these verses clearly give the knowledge of that. This verse confirms that Lord Krishna, by his plenary parts, should be rendered devotional service. By his plenary parts. So what are those plenary parts we will discuss now? Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, they are the principal directors of the three gunas, hence called gunavatars, the qualitative forms of the Lord. So as we have seen earlier in these slides, so we see that the partial manifestations of the Lord, there are six different kinds of partial manifestations, the Leela avatar, Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Shaktyavesh avatars, Manvantara avatars and Yuga avatars. So in the Guna avatars, the Lord expands himself as a Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. So we'll go back to the slide. So what is the role of Brahma? What is the role of Vishnu and what is the role of Maheshwara? We'll see. Brahma is the deity of Rajas, passion. So the prison house of the material world is created by Brahma under the instruction of personality of Godhead. So he is actually creating. Brahma is actually responsible for creation. But the creation is made possible by the goodness of Vishnu. And then Vishnu is the deity of the quality of goodness in the material world. He is actually the Purusha avatar known as Shirodakshaya Vishnu or Paramatma. As we have seen in the previous slide also, it is in the Purusha avatars, if you see from the Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, the Lord expands himself into each of the planet, each of the universes as a Garbhodakshaya Dakshaya Vishnu, and then further expands into each and every atom as a Shirodakshaya Vishnu, that is as a Paramatma. So that is the Vishnu we are considering here. That Vishnu is Shirodakshaya Vishnu or the Paramatma who expands into each and every atom of the living entity. He is in charge of the Sattvaguna activities. That is, his maintenance of the material world is done by Vishnu. He is manifested by his millions and billions of integrated forms and separated forms. We can discuss more about what the integrated forms and what the separated forms later. And Maheshwara, who is Lord Shiva, is the deity of ignorance. So what is his role? At the end of Kalpa, that is the end of Brahma's life, the whole thing, the whole creation is destroyed by Lord Shiva. That is a purpose, that is a role played by the Lord Shiva. So again, Prabhupada clearly gives, also it is stated here, that of all these three, all human beings can derive ultimate benefit from Vishnu, the form of the quality of goodness. So what is that ultimate benefit? That ultimate benefit is to get liberated from the prison house of the material existence, which is full of miseries like repetition of birth, death, disease and old age. So how to get that benefit is also clearly given in the verse, that by worshipping of Lord Krishna or his plenary parts, that is Vishnu Tattva, through devotional service, one can get out of this material miseries. So then one might ask, why is it only Vishnu and not Brahma or Shiva? So the worship of Vishnu, because Lord Vishnu is a source of everything. He is the creator of the secondary creator Brahma. In fact, he creates the modes of nature through which Brahma does his creation. However, he never comes under the influence of the mode of nature. There is a very wonderful example. Like now you might ask a question like, Lord Krishna has expanded as Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara. So in the material realm, why is it that is not come under the influence of the modes of material nature. One thing is, he is beyond the modes of material nature. He is the creator of modes of material nature. And Prabhupada very nicely gives an example to explain it very in detail. He says that there is a prison house and there are prisoners and also the managers who control the prisoners. And also there is a king. So the prisoners and the people who manage, the superintendent of the jail, or the jailers, they are all subjected to the laws of the prison house. However, the king is not subject. King might visit the prison house often to check, but he is not subjected to the laws of the prison house. So how we can relate that here is, like Brahma and Shiva, we can relate to as the managers of the prison house. The prisoners are all the living entities living in this material world. And the king is Lord Krishna, who even comes to the prison house but is not subjected to the laws of the prison. So this is a nice, very nice analogy given by Prabhupada to explain how even though Lord has expanded himself as Vishnu, but he doesn't come under the modes of material nature. Even though he represents the mode of goodness, he doesn't come under that mode of, he is not affected by that mode of material nature. And then, except for Vishnu, no other demigod can release the souls from the material existence. Thus, the pure transcendentalists worship the form of goodness Vishnu in his various forms by rendering devotional service. Only by such devotional service, they get liberated from the miseries of the material world. And what does worship of Brahma and Shiva give us? So he said, materialists and the foolish human beings, predominated by the modes of passion and ignorance, worship Brahma and Shiva respectively. Because the mode of passion is represented by Brahma and the mode of ignorance is represented by Shiva. So the people who are predominated by these modes worship these respective deities. What happens by such worship? They get some relative facilities for temporary relief in the material world. However, they cannot get liberated from the miseries of the repeated birth, death, disease and the old age. So, this is further explained why they cannot get liberated by worship of the Brahma and Shiva in the later verses.
Parthivadharnodhubhas tasmat agnis trayimayaha tamasastu tasmat sattam yat brahma darshanam.
Firewood is a transformation of earth, but smoke is better than the raw wood. And fire is still better, for by fire we can derive the benefits of superior knowledge through the Vedic sacrifices. Similarly, passion, which is rajas, is better than ignorance, it is tamas. But goodness, sattva, is best, because by goodness one can come to realize the absolute truth. So here there is a very nice analogy of why we are comparing the firewood, the smoke and the fire is compared here with the mode of goodness, mode of passion and ignorance. Because for ultimately to perform a sacrifice, what is required? The fire. Unless we get the fire, we cannot do the sacrifice. However, the other ingredients are required. Like this, the wood and the smoke. So here, that's the reason the fire is considered to the mode of goodness. So one can only perform devotional service when one gets to the mode of goodness. Unless one gets there, they will not be able to perform the devotional service. So unless one has a fire, one won't be able to do the sacrificial, the Vedic sacrifices. That's why they are compared. So, and it also gives us an explanation of why the mode of goodness is better than mode of passion and ignorance. That I have just explained, like with the analogy of the fire, smoke and wood. So tamas, which is the mode of ignorance, This is an uncivilized state of life. Or this we can see in the lower animals. And the rajas, the civilized life of a man, with a passion for various types of material benefits, this rajas state is compared to the smoke, actually. Because when we see smoke, actually we get some indication that there could be some fire. There is a, before the fire comes, we actually see the smoke. That means there is a slight indication of the fire coming out. So this mode of passion, even though it is not good than the mode of goodness, but it at least gives us light clue of the realization of the absolute truth. How? In the form of the sentiments in philosophy, arts and culture, and with the moral and ethical principles. In the mode of goodness, we don't even have all these things. But at least in the mode of passion and the rajas, we have this. Like, people actually can just relate to the supreme, to the art of dancing, to the art of culture. They might not appreciate and do the devotional service, but through the art of the dance and the music, they can actually somewhat relate. So the people, we can term them to be in the mode of passion. Goodness, that is sattva. This is followed, or this we can see in the higher stage of beings, this quality, this is sattva guna. And this is the quality which actually helps us find realizing the absolute truth. So one has to raise to the platform of mode of goodness so that one can be eligible for the devotional service of the Lord. So this is eligible. Eligibility is first you have to get to the mode of goodness. And then they can come to realize the absolute truth. It's not just because you come to the mode of goodness, you will realize absolute. It is only the eligibility. It's the platform of eligibility. After that, when you perform the devotional service, then you can realize the supreme. So how can we get to the platform of the sattva guna? Because most of us are on the platform of ignorance. Most of the living entities are on the platform of ignorance and passion. So, by the expert direction of the spiritual master. So, spiritual master, based on whatever modes we are in, he gives us, he directs us and brings us from that mode where we are to the platform of mode of goodness. And Prabhupada has clearly explained, like, what is the general mistake the living entities does with respect to the verse of considering the Trinity. They consider that the worship of any quality or any form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is equally beneficial. In this case, it is like worship of Brahma, Shiva or the Vishnu. They think that anyone you worship, it is the same. It is beneficial, equally beneficial. So that is a mistake they do. But why is that mistake? Why do they do? Because why is it a mistake actually? Except Vishnu, all separated forms, Brahma and Shiva, are manifested under the condition of material energy. Therefore, the form of material energy cannot help anyone rise to the platform of sattva. See, this is a very important point to note. Brahma and Shiva, the separated forms of Vishnu, are manifested under the conditions of material energy. So they are subjected to the material energy. So that's the reason they cannot bring us to the platform of sattva guna. So subjected to the other modes, so that's why they cannot bring us to the platform of sattva guna, which only can liberate a person from the material bondage. So somebody who wants to get liberated from the material bondage, they have to worship Vishnu. They cannot worship Brahma and Shiva and expect to get to the platform of sattva guna and then get liberated. That's not possible. So that is a mistake they do.
Bhijire munayotyaghe bhagavatam adokshajam sattvam vishuddham kshemaya kalpanti yenutam iha.
So previously, all the great sages rendered service onto the personality of Godhead due to his existence above the three modes of material nature. They worshipped him to become free from material conditions and thus derive the ultimate benefit. Whoever follows such great authorities is also eligible for liberation from the material world. So why Suta Goswami is actually saying this verse here exactly? Here is, because let's say earlier he is defining that there are three modes of material nature represented by Vishnu, Brahma and Shiva, and we have to worship Vishnu to get out of the miseries of the world, that is to get liberated. He's just saying that, but here he is not. It is just like saying that, okay, I'm just giving one example. Let's say you want to buy some washing machine or something, and somebody is asking, I can just say that, okay, this has these features. That might be a little convincing to you, but to follow. But if you say that these are all the people who have actually bought them, these are actually using it, that is more convincing to you. And then you know for sure that, okay, this is, yes, I can go for it, and then because they have already practicing it, they have achieved the results. That is the reason. Previously, all the great sages rendered service onto the personality of Godhead due to his existence above the three modes of the material nature. They worshipped him to become free from. So this is ascertaining that they have all done this. They worshipped the Supreme Lord and they actually became free from this material conditions and they obtained the ultimate benefit. And then he says, now whoever is going to follow that authority, they can also become liberated from this material world. So this is reassuring that whatever was said earlier, somebody has actually followed and they have got it, and now whoever follows will also get it. So Prabhupada in his purport has given so many points. So like the main purpose of religion is not to just get some material profit or just not to get some knowledge which discerning the matter in spirit. And there are so many other points Prabhupada mentioned, so I just wanted to just capture those in the slide. So, and also Prabhupada mentioned, who are those Mahajans? Here he says, previously all the great sages rendered service unto the personality of God. Who are those great sages? These are the 12 particular agents of the Lord who know the purpose of the religion. All of them rendered transcendental service unto them. So in the next slide he says, who are those? Yeah, I think I copied the same slide. Okay. So further, Jiva Goswami also explains in his Paramatma Sandarbha Anuchched 11 that who is Brahma and Shiva. He clearly explains that they are partial expansion of Super Soul. As we said, that Vishnu is a Kshirodakshay Vishnu. He has expanded. He is a Super Soul. So this Brahma and Shiva are the expansions of that Super Soul. And what is our ultimate goal should be? To strive to find out the Super Soul, not the expansions of the Super Soul, but the Super Soul who is Vishnu, in order to get liberation. And in the Skanda Purana it is clearly said that Vishnu is the one who actually binds the soul with the ropes of birth and death, and only he is the only one who can actually untie us from the ropes of birth and death. Hence only through worship of Vishnu we can get the liberation. This is confirmed in the Skanda Purana. And Prabhupada also explains that why passion is superior to ignorance in the purport. He says that when somebody is in ignorance, they cannot even get to the platform of goodness. But at least if somebody is in passion, that can lead one to goodness. How is that? So, that as I said that, actually in the previous verses, I have already covered that in this. Yeah, exactly. That's the right thing. I wanted to go back to the slide and show. Because they have the fine sentiments of religion, art and music through which actually we can say that they are actually close. The mode of passion can let them come closer to seeing the Supreme. But they cannot see it, however, because they are agitated by these desires, material desires. They cannot see. However, it lets them come closer to the Supreme. So that's why it is actually superior to ignorance. Mumukshavo ghora rupan
हित्वा भूतापतिर्नतः नारायणकालः शान्ता भजन्ति हि अनुसूयवः.
Those who are serious about liberation are certainly not non-envious in their respect of, yet they reject the horrible and ghastly forms of the demigods and worship only the all blissful forms of the Lord Vishnu and his plenary portions. So here Suta Goswami is saying that unless person have certain goal and unless a person knows what is what, he cannot actually regard properly. So one should know the goal and one should know the modes of worship, then only he can regard them properly. So here in this verse it is saying that whoever is serious for the liberation and whoever has this knowledge of the Supreme and his expansion, then they can regard the Supreme and his partial expansion and separated expansion appropriately. They can regard this appropriately. So Prabhupada has clearly given us in this purport, like, and explained what are the integrated plenary portions and separated parts and parcels. So that one we have, once we have this knowledge appropriately, then we can regard those persons appropriately. So he says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, who is the original person of the Vishnu category, expanded himself into two different categories, namely the integrated plenary portions, that is Vishnu Tattva, and separated parts and parcels. So what is the differences between these two, we'll see. So Lord Krishna's, the Vishnu Tattvas are the Lord Krishna's integrated plenary portions, whereas Jiva Tattvas are Lord's separated parts and parcels. And all Vishnu's Tattvas, that is the integrated plenary portions, are worshipable objects, whereas the separated parts and parcels are servitors. And these Vishnu Tattvas are represented by various names and forms like Narayana, Damodara, Vamana, Govinda and Adokshada. And in the separated parts and parcels, the demigods come in the separated parts. All the demigods who are empowered by the Supreme Lord, they actually come under the Jiva Tattva, separated parts and parcels. And within the Vishnu Tattvas, it is said that all forms are equally powerful as the original form. However, they may not display all the powers. They only display certain powers based on the time and circumstances. And when it comes to Jiva Tattvas, their power is limited. They do not have unlimited power just like Vishnu Tattvas. Their power is limited. And actually based on their positions, they are given certain powers to execute. And then they are based on that powers what they get, they are considered sometimes they consider sometimes the demigods, like Kala Bhairava, Smashana Bhairava, Sani, Mahakali and Chandika, these are the examples. And then the Vishnu Tattva can give the living entities, which are the Jiva Tattva, liberation from the miseries of the material world. But whereas the Jiva Tattva, because the demigods, which are actually fall under the Jiva Tattva, they can only give some temporary benefits, they cannot give the liberation, because they themselves are unable to get the liberation. And what to speak of giving liberation to those who follow them or worship them. And moreover, they are all liquidated at the time of the annihilation of the material structure. So when somebody knows this exact difference of what Vishnu Tattva is and what Jiva Tattva is, and where does Brahma and Shiva fall, and where does all the demigods fall in which category, then they can actually regard them appropriately. That is why we have seen here, those who are serious about liberation, they know for sure that only Vishnu Tattvas can give the liberation. So those who are serious about liberation certainly are non-envious and they respect all. It is not that because only Lord Vishnu Tattvas can get liberation, they are disrespectful of the demigods. They are not disrespectful of the demigods. I can show you another slide why they are not disrespectful of the demigods. However, they reject the horrible and ghastly forms of the demigods and worship only the all pure. blissful forms of the Lord. So why they don't disrespect? Because they know that all the demigods are also parts and parcels, separated parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. That's the reason they don't disrespect. However, they don't worship because those they cannot give the liberation. Only the Vishnu Tattvas can give the liberation. So again, I have put it in a question format, like, who rejects the worship of the other demigods? Those are very serious about the liberation. Like in general, Prabhupada said that the highly qualified Brahmanas who are situated in the mode of goodness, they worship mode of goodness, reject the worship of both horrible and attractive features of the demigods. Why do they reject the worship of the other demigods? Because they know that the demigods can award the worshipper some temporary benefits only, not the ultimate one, that is liberation from material condition. And we know this pastime of Hiranyakashipu. We know that he was very much devoted to Brahma and he wanted to become eternal. So, but Lord Brahma could not satisfy, because Brahma also falls under the Jiva Tattva, and Jiva Tattvas cannot give liberation to any other Jiva Tattvas. So we know that from this pastime. And the other reason is because the demigods are themselves unable to get liberation, and what to speak of giving liberation to other devotees. And moreover, like other living entities, the demigods are liquidated at the time of the annihilation of material structure. These are the three reasons why somebody who is very serious about liberation, they reject the worship of the demigods. Then how do they regard the demigods? Even though they reject the worship, they regard them with respect. Then how do they regard? They say that they have no grudges against the mode of worship of the other demigods. And they have all respect to other demigods, even though they may look ghastly like Kala Bhairava and Mahakali. Because they very well know that those horrible features of the Supreme Lord are all different servitors of the Lord under different conditions. Then who worships the Vishnu Tattvas? It is the same as who rejects the Vishnu Tattvas. So who rejects the worship of the demigods? The same as who worships the Vishnu Tattvas. Those who are very serious about the liberation from the material condition of life. In general, the qualified Brahmanas worship the Vishnu Tattvas. This is actually, I copied directly from the purport given by Srila Prabhupada. So, represented by Shaligram Shen and some of the higher castes like Kshatriyas and Vaishnavas. So basically those who are very severe, whatever in Varna they are situated, it is those who are very serious about liberation from this material condition, they actually want to worship this Vishnu Tattva. Why do they worship Vishnu Tattva? This is again the same reason we all know, that only Vishnu is the giver of liberation, who is called Muktipada. Here, in the next verse, it is saying, so what about the living entities in the mode of ignorance and passion? So the next verse gives us, what do they do?
Rajas tamaha prakritiyaha samashila bhajanti vai pitra bhuta prajeshadhi shri aishvarya prajeshavaha.
Those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance worship the forefathers, other living beings and the demigods who are in charge of cosmic activities, for they are urged by a desire to be materially benefited for woman, wealth, power and progeny. So the main reason for them to worship the forefathers and other living beings is the desire, the strong desire to be materially benefited for the woman, wealth, progeny and power. So, Lord Krishna also speaks about the people in the mode of ignorance, especially in the mode of passion, in Bhagavad Gita 7:20 and 7:23. Lord Krishna says, it is clearly said that those who are mad after material enjoyment approach the different demigods for temporary benefits, which are meant for men with poor fund of knowledge. Those whose intelligence is stolen by material desires, they are surrender unto the demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of the worship according to their own nature. However, I am in the everyone's heart and the super soul. So as soon as one desires to worship some demigod, I make his faith steady so that he can devote himself to that particular deity. Endowed with such a faith, he endeavors to worship a particular demigod and obtains his desires. But in actually, the benefits are bestowed by me alone. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my spiritual planets. This is in detail explanation of what he said in this verse, that the people in the mode of passion and ignorance worship the four fathers. So the main point here is to understand is because of the uncontrolled desire to achieve this power, wealth and progeny, they worship. But the Lord clearly says that, okay, however these demigods, but the Lord is saying the second one is also most important. The 7:21. As soon as one desires that worship of some demigod, the Lord is making their faith steady in that particular deity. So that at least this is a step-by-step process. At least when they get faith in that particular demigod, and gradually they might get to the platform of goodness, and eventually they can come to the worship of Lord Vishnu. So, and one of these reasons is why the others who are in the mode of goodness, why do they don't, they have no grudges for the worship of others? Because they very well know that Lord, he himself sitting as a super soul in the heart, is making their faith stronger. That's why the people who are in the mode of goodness, who are worshippers of Lord Vishnu, they don't have any grudges against the people who are in the mode of passion, worshipping the other demigods. However, in the purport, Prabhupada, he recommends the following things. So he says, if one is serious about going back to Godhead, then there is no need to worship demigods. Why? Because demigods are servants of the Lord, and they are duty bound. And they are duty bound to supply what? All the necessities of the life, like light, air, water, etc. So, we don't need to worship them. Just make use of those basic things which are supplied by default. By default, they are supplied. So just accept those things to the point of bearing those minimum necessities of life. And don't try to increase the material enjoyment. So what happens when we increase the material enjoyment? Then we get bound more and more to the miseries of the material existence. So and our aim is to end the miseries and not to increase them. So how do we end those? It's by worship of Vishnu, by keeping our necessities bare minimum, and then by worshipping Vishnu, one can benefit in this life as well as in the life after death. But the foolish people, they actually forget these principles, and then they try for more wealth, more wives and more children, and then try to worship the other demigods. And it is also said that whoever worships the various demigods for to get material benefits, that is actually not the religion, it's actually perversity of the religion. And Bhagavatam condemns that, saying that is a Kaitava Dharma. And Bhagavatam says that one should follow the Bhagavad Dharma, that is to worship Lord Vishnu, and with the whole aim is to end the miseries of the material world and to get back to the Supreme Lord. And one example we see is like in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, he has actually stopped Indra's worship, and he advised the residents of the Vraja to worship by their business, by whatever activities they are doing, and to have faith in the God. So as we have stated earlier, like the demigods are duty bound to supply the necessities of the life. That's why Lord Krishna said that the Indra is duty bound to give the rains, and then there is no need to worship. All we are getting is from, all the necessities we are getting from is from Govardhan. So we actually worship the Govardhan, because, and then he stopped the worship of the Indra, the demigod. So one should carefully execute occupational service with faith in God in the proper way and worship the Supreme Lord by the fruits of one's hard labor for existence, and then that will lead one gradually on the progressive march back to Godhead. So this point later is expanded more. So I will talk more on this point. So one should carefully execute occupational service within faith in God in the proper way and worship the Supreme Lord by the fruits of one's hard labor for existence, and this will lead one gradually on the progressive march back to Godhead. They actually establish who the object of worship should be. So we'll just recite this verse, all of us. We'll recite this verse together.
Vasudeva paraveha, Vasudeva paramaka, Vasudeva para yoga, Vasudeva para kriya, Vasudeva param jnanam, Vasudeva param tapaha, Vasudeva paro dharmo, Vasudeva paragatihi.
In the revealed scriptures, the ultimate object of knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The purpose of performing sacrifice is to please him. Yoga is for realizing him. All fruitive activities are ultimately rewarded by him only. He is supreme knowledge, and all severe austerities are performed to know him. Religion, that is dharma, is rendering loving service unto him, and he is the supreme goal of life. So these two verses give us who should be the object of worship. So I'm actually taking each of this and then elaborating a little bit on this. So Vasudeva Paraveda. So the ultimate purpose of the Vedas is to know who Lord Krishna or Vasudeva is. Then, who has given all these scriptures? All the revealed scriptures are given by the Lord himself through his incarnation, through Shaktyavesh incarnation of as Srila Vyasadeva. Why he has given? Just to remind the fallen souls who are conditioned by the material nature about Lord Krishna himself. So he has given the knowledge to remind the fallen souls about himself. And what is the sum and substance of Vedas is one should establish one's loving relationship with the Supreme. And then in the Bhagavad Gita also Lord says, Sarvasya chaham hriti sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha vedaischa sarvairaha veva vedyo vedanta kritvera vireva chaham. He says, by all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta and I am the knower of the Vedas. So the verdict of all the Vedic literature is no demigods can award freedom from the material bondage. Only the Supreme Lord can award. But however, there are impersonalists who have no information of the personality of Godhead, and they actually minimize the omnipotence of the Supreme Lord and put him on an equal footing with all other living beings. And for this, and for such an act, these impersonalists, they don't get the freedom from the material bondage. That's very difficult for them to get the freedom from the material bondage. And they will be only able to surrender to him only after many, many, many births. So like Bahunam, Janmanam, Ante, Jnanaman, Mam, Prapatye, Vasudevam, Sarvamiti, Samatma, Sudurlabha. So only after many, many births and deaths, he who is actually knowledge surrenders out to me, knowing to me the cause of all causes. So once we know that, as we know from this, that The ultimate purpose of Vedas is to know Lord Krishna. So, and this we can know only through the devotional service. So that's what is Prabhupada recommending, is by practicing the devotional service, then we can know who the Supreme Lord is. And without practicing devotional service, then we might become like the impersonalist who might try to equate the Lord, the omnipotency of the Supreme Lord with other living beings, and then it becomes very hard for us to get freedom from this bondage. Vasudeva Paramaka. So the purpose of performing sacrifices is to please Lord Krishna. So there is another name for Vasudeva, is Yajnova Vishnu. So Yajna is Vishnu. So the sacrifice is for the Vishnu. In Bhagavad Gita also it is said that all sacrifices are to be conducted for the satisfaction of Yajna Purusha, that is Vishnu. Bhuktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvalokam Hesham Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Nyatmamam Shanti. So the person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to the ultimate beneficiary of all the sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all plants and demigods, and the benefactor and the beneficiary of all the living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. So even if you see in the Karmakanda rituals, we recite the name of the Lord Vishnu. Because Lord Vishnu is the supreme beneficiary of all such sacrifices. And it's meant for realizing that. All those sacrifices are actually meant for realizing the absolute truth, Vasudeva. That's why it's called Vasudeva Paramaka. Purpose of any sacrifice is to please Lord Krishna and to realize Lord Krishna, realize absolute truth. And then you might have seen in our lives, in devotional service also we see that we do a lot of sacrifices. Right? I mean, like voluntarily we give up. Voluntarily we actually chant every day in the morning. Instead of going and having some parties, we just sacrifice. And then we just want to daily sit and chant the holy names of the Lord. Voluntarily we give up so that we can satisfy the Supreme Lord, please the Supreme Lord, by which only we can understand and reach Him. And we sacrifice eating all the stuff from outside, and even though when we are going out, we might see a lot of eatables, and then we sacrifice them. Sacrifice in the sense like, we know for sure that unless we offer and eat, we won't be able to please the Lord. Unless we please the Lord, we won't be able to know Him and reach Him. So, the next one is Vasudeva Parakriya. All fruitive activities are ultimately rewarded by Him only. Here Prabhupada says that Kriya means the activities. Activities which are done in the, as per the Varnashrama Dharma. So, as per the nature one has, one might be doing the work of a Brahmana. So, if one has the qualities of a Brahmana, he might be engaged in that activities. If one has a Kshatriya qualities, he might be engaged in that work. However, whatever work he does, it should finally boil down to the point that whether that work is being satisfied for Lord Krishna. That's what he said. Swam tishtasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. So when we are doing these prescribed duties according to our occupation, then what is that one can achieve, what is the highest perfection one can achieve by doing those, is haritoshanam, the satisfaction of the Supreme. So it doesn't matter what activities are you doing based on whatever nature you have, but finally you should check whether that activities is bringing satisfaction to the Supreme. That is the most important thing. The yoga is for realizing Lord Krishna. Vasudeva Para Yoga. Yoga means to get connected or unite with the Supreme Lord. And yoga is not meant for the health sake. People are so much absorbed in the bodily concept of the life. Everything they want with this is connection with the body. So they have more sense, so that they can have more sense gratification. So Prabhupada says, instead of Vasudeva Parayoga, most people are doing Sharira Parayoga. So they are trying to, even though most of us are trying to practice the yoga. So if the ultimate goal is only for the health sake, then it is just shramahevahi kevalam, like it is
useless.
Then the whole idea is like when we do, is we to keep the body in a state so that we can do services in a better way. If that is the aim, then that is good. Otherwise, it is not the correct way. So actually the process of yoga, this includes, especially this Ashtanga yoga, it includes the Yama, Niyama, Dharana, the Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Dharana and Samadhi. So these are this is the process. This is Patanjali has given this yogic process of Ashtanga yoga. So actually by which actually one can realize the localized aspect of Vasudeva, which is a Paramatma. So, but this is actually very difficult to achieve. So if he is successful in performing this yoga, then one may actually realize the Vasudeva in full. But most of the cases, it doesn't happen. Why? Because as one performs this yoga, then he will be rewarded with lots of mystic powers. And they will get deviated as soon as they get the mystic powers. So, what is the fate of those yogis who get deviated by that? So, the Lord is very merciful because anyway they have done so much attempt, right? They are practicing Yama, Niyama, Ayasana, Pranayama. So, let me give a chance to them. So, Lord is so merciful. So, He gives them a chance by placing them in the families of good learned Brahmanas or rich merchants. However, if they take advantage of that good birth, they can soon realize the Supreme Lord. But unfortunately, the people again get captivated by the material wealth and honor. So that's the reason in the Bhagavad Gita, in 6th chapter 47, Lord directly says that, who is the Supreme in the yoga? This, Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana siddhavan bhajate yomam sne yuktatamo matah. He says, even though he has defined all the yoga systems, but again he says, out of all these yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. Krishna gives this opinion. So, we should try to follow this particular, like trying to render the devotional service and always think of the Lord. So then we will be doing the correct yoga as described by the Lord. What is jnana? According to Bhagavad Gita, there are 18 items in cultivating the knowledge. Actually, it was too much to put those 18 items here in the slide, so I kept it to the end so we can go through. So what happens by such cultivation? So by such cultivation of the knowledge, one becomes gradually prideless, devoid of vanity, non-violent, forbearing, simple and devoted to the great spiritual master and self-control. And by culture of the knowledge, one becomes unattached to the earth and home and becomes conscious of the miseries due to the death, birth, old age and disease. And they actually, finally, all this knowledge culminates into the devotional service of the Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Because this knowledge actually brings them to the, and then brings them to the transcendental plane of meeting the Vasudeva. That's why he says, Bhunam Janmanamante Jnanavan Mam Prapatti Vasudevam Sarvanti. So only after many, many births, who is actually knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes. So that means that actual knowledge is, unless the actual knowledge culminates into the devotional service, there is no scope of knowing the Supreme, who the Supreme is. So only after many, many births, then only they will, when he actually knows the knowledge that the Lord is the Supreme, I am the servitor, and then only we can establish the relationship is through the devotional service, then they will be able to know the Supreme. So therefore that Vasudeva is the ultimate aim in culturing all different branches of knowledge. And Prabhupada also says, what is Ajnana? Ajnana means physical knowledge in its various branches, which is aimed to satisfy the senses. Which means to prolong the term of material existence and thereby continuance of the threefold misery sin. It's called Ajnana. That's the reason every day in the morning we actually pray to the spiritual master, saying that Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalaka Chakshur Unmrita Nena Tasmai Shri Vrave Namaha. So we are humbly praying, paying obeisances to our spiritual master and thanking him for giving us this pure spiritual knowledge by which and bringing us from the darkness of the science. Vasudeva Paratapah. All severe austerities are performed to know Lord Krishna. So what does tapasya means? Tapasya means we voluntarily accept some bodily pain or inconvenience to achieve some higher end of life. So we have seen the examples of Ravana and Hiranyakashipu. They underwent severe austerities by torturing their body. And even today we see a lot of people do, even politicians actually. They do satyagrahas and then all these things. What is the motive of that? Some kind of material gain. Some temporary material gain. Not the permanent gain. So, and those are actually done in the mode of passion and ignorance. And those austerities cannot end the miseries of the life. That's why this tapasya, whatever austerities they are doing, is not actually austerity. It's not real austerity. Because that doesn't end the miseries of the life. So then what is real austerity, real tapasya? Yat tapasyasi kaunteya kurusvama tarpani. Tat kurusvama tarpani. It says, whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. So what is the benefit of doing this as an offering to the Supreme Lord? One can end the miseries of the life when everything is offered to the Lord. That's the reason most of the devotees, we are actually, in one sense, if you see, we are actually leading
the austerity life,
austere life, right? Like, we actually, like, this is a Purushottam month, and then most of you might be following this austerity, like eating only grains one time or like fasting. So why are we doing all these austerities? Is it like we want some material benefit out of these austerities? The idea is to please the Supreme. Only when the Supreme Lord is pleased, then He can only grant us, He can only deliver us from this material existence. So then that kind of austerities which are directed to please Him, that is called the real tapasya. That's why the Lord is saying that. All, whatever austerity you perform, do that unto me. Do that unto means, do that so that it's pleasing to me. So if you see the example of Vasudeva and Devaki, because of their austerities, they have actually, they underwent great penances to get the Swayam Bhagavan, Vasudeva, as their son. And the Lord was pleased with their austerities, and then he, Lord actually came as their son. He took birth as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. So any austerities you do, that must be done to achieve the end knowledge, to know the Supreme, to please the Supreme. Vasudeva Parodharma, to render loving service unto the Lord Krishna is a supreme dharma. So who defines the dharma? Who has given us the dharma? Dharmam sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So the real religious principles are enacted by the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord only gives all the religious principles. And what are the religious principles? In the Bhagavatam, it's clearly said that rendering service unto the Supreme Lord with love and without any contamination of material mode, this is actually the real dharma. But for ordinary people, it is very difficult to know and understand. But who knows this real religious principles? It is this Mahajans, 12 Mahajans. They actually know the religious principles. Then how do we understand? How do we know and understand these confidential religious principles? And then Yamaraj says that the true religious principles can be understood only if one follows any of the four parampara systems. clearly says that there are Sri Sampradaya, Kumara Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya and Brahma Sampradaya. So when we follow the disciplic succession and through the acharyas, we will know what the real religious principle is. So not just by following anyone you can get to understand the real religious principles. So Swamastistasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. Again, I am repeating this. He says, here it says, following Varnashrama, one should simply accept such religious principles that will lead ultimately to the devotional service of the Lord. One may perform a particular occupational duty according to the position of the social order. But if by executing his duty, one does not come to the point of Krishna consciousness, that is satisfying the Lord, all his activities are in vain. Anything that does not lead to the perfection stage of Krishna consciousness should be avoided. Here, and the Lord also at the end, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, it is Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Ishyami Ma Sujaha. He says that one should give up all other duties and just surrender unto the lotus feet of Krishna. That means, like, we cannot just give up any of the duties. What he is saying here is like, do perform those activities which actually are pleasing to the Supreme Lord. That is what is like in the previous verse, it is Swamstistasya Dharmasya Samsittir Haritoshana. So finally, the activities what you do should be pleasing to the Supreme Lord. It doesn't matter in which occupation you are, whether you are Kshatriya, Brahmana, Vaishya, Shudra, it doesn't matter. But whatever prescribed duties you are doing in that particular occupation, make sure that those are actually pleasing to the Supreme. Vasudeva Paragati, to attain the Lord Krishna, is the supreme goal of life. So Lord Sri Krishna's innumerable forms are made possible by his various energies. So here, Lord is saying that he has multiple energies. Out of this, here, his internal energy, because his internal, the living entities are created with the internal energy and the external energy also. So all the living entities within the internal energy, they are actually Nitya Siddhas. They are liberated eternally. All the living entities who are within the external energy, they are actually Nitya Baddhas. So here Prabhupada is clearly explaining that our goal, our aim should be like try and get ourselves into the internal energy of the Lord. That's what he says. Therefore, all culture of knowledge, austerity, sacrifice and activity should be aimed at changing the quality of the influence that is acting upon us. What is the quality of influence that is acting upon us? Is external energy of the Lord. So we have to change that quality of influence. And just to change the quality of influence, we must endeavor to cultivate the spiritual knowledge. Only with the spiritual knowledge, only with the devotional service, we can change the quality of influence. That is from external to the internal. We can get into the internal energy of the Lord. How is that? We can follow the Mahatmas. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that those who are Mahatmas are those whose minds have been so broadened as to be engaged in the service of Lord Krishna are actually, they are under the influence of internal potential. And the effect is that such broad-minded living beings are constantly engaged in the service of the Lord without deviation. And that should be our aim. We should actually follow in the footsteps of Mahatma. And we should actually change the influence from the material energy, that is external energy, into his internal energy. How should one engage himself in the transcendental service of the Lord? This Anya Abhilashita Sunyam. Jnana karma adina avritam anukulyena krishna anushiranam. So one should render the transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculations. That is called the pure devotional service. By this one can attain the supreme goal of life, Lord Krishna. So the conclusion of this section is, Sudha Goswami explains that Hari, Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, is the absolute truth, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and is beyond the modes of material nature, even though he accepts the quality of goodness of the material world. That is very important. He is beyond the modes of nature, even though he accepts the quality of goodness of the material world, and therefore instructs that those serious about liberation worship only Vasudeva through devotional service, for he is the supreme goal of life. So I've already explained this. Somebody might have questioned that how is the Lord Krishna situated transcendently even though he accepts the quality of goodness of the material world. So this we have given, the Prabhupada has nicely explained that the example of prisoners and the managers and the king, which I have already given. So I think this. So this is the references which I have used, prabhupadvani.org, rumpadswami.com, that website, and ISKCON Desiree. And I have also used the overview lectures of Purijana Prabhu, and also this Unveiling His Lotus Feet. So, thank you. And